Now, unfortunately, folks, the fellows at YouTube have got overactive bots that look for copyright and keep on sniping streams. So this stream was interrupted several times, as you'll hear, and we'll never get to know certain things. Like, for example, where was the missing puzzle piece in Bertha? We'll never find out. What is the backstory of Dilys Price in Fireman Sam? Why is Norman, why doesn't Norman have a father figure? We'll never know. But what I've done, I have edited together the remnants of this stream and put it up for you all to watch. But as you'll see, it's interrupted several times. Unfortunately, just a quirk of the algo. But enjoy it for what it was. Well, hello, I'm here. And I've got a cup of Nescafe Gold. I think I've put too much milk in it. But do you know what? I quite like a milky coffee. Now, just before we get going, do you ever have that time where you have a dream where the dream is so good that you wake up and you want to get back to the dream? Because I experienced that earlier on today. I had a very strange dream where something happened in the world that everybody missed, apart from certain blogger who goes by the name of Mencius Moldbug, caught this, and it was a big huge change in the body of the a huge change in the fabric of the body politic. But something that you'd only know if you understood the context. So I made a video all about the stunning importance of context and how context can be utterly transformational. And this video was a masterpiece, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen. It was amazing. I thought, this video, of all the ones I've made, this is the one. And then I woke up because that video wasn't made, that piece of news wasn't true. And I thought, oh shit, all that effort is such a good video too. I'm going to go back to sleep and try to finish it. I want to go back to sleep and live in the world where it was true. And I'm going to complete that video. Unfortunately, when I went back to sleep, I couldn't get back to the dream. And so it is always, isn't it? Has anybody actually successfully had that feeling where you wake up, you want to get back to the dream, and then you actually get back there? Because I don't think I've ever successfully got back to the dream. Okay, so today we're going to be looking at stop motion animation of a certain vintage from the UK, the world of UK kids TV. And we're going to be what I've done is I have selected the first episodes of certain famous shows. So Postman Pat, Thomas the Tank Engine, Bertha, it's a bit of an lovely Bertha. We're going to be introducing the kiddies to the wonderful world of Bertha today, and Fireman Sam. And I'm going to be doing it by start date. So I believe Postman Pat was the first show because it started in 1981, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not. 1981 was the start date of Postman Pat. Then from there, we're going to move forward to Thomas the Tank. I believe Thomas the Tank Engine started in 1984. 1984, that sounds about right. So we're going to be watching it of the Ringo Starr on the old commentary there. Then we're going to move forward to Bertha. I believe Bertha was a show that started in I want to say 1986, but let me just double check that. For 1985, Bertha started. And then we're going to move forward to Fireman Sam. So that people in America can see what Welsh, what a Welsh kid show seems, you know, is like. And I think Fireman Sam started in 1987. So there we go. Now, just before we begin, do you want to know anything about the people who made these shows? Would you like to know? Would you like to know? You know anything of their history? Just say one if you'd like to know something about the history of Postman Pat and who made it and what the thinking was behind the show, or just press two if you want to just get on with it and not bother with any of that. I'm seeing some ones. Okay, so people want to know a little bit about Postman Pat on this coziest of streams. I'm just going to have a little bite of a chocolate here. Now, I made a terrible error when I bought this chocolate. It's a bar of Lindt. Now, I like extra creamy milk chocolate Lindt. Mrs. AA tends to eat the dark chocolate Lindt. And I bought one which was 65%, so it's kind of half and half. It's like a milk chocolate bar, but it's got 65% cocoa in it, so it's a bit more bitter than I like. I mean, funny little thing happened the other day. One of Mrs. AA's bars of dark chocolate Lindt was just on the side there, and I walked into the sitting room, and who was sitting there on the floor? Managed to open the bar and nibble her way all across the top of Mrs. AA's dark chocolate bar, none other than AAA. So I don't, and that led us to look up to see if dark chocolate was poisonous to babies like it is for dogs, but apparently not. So there we go. Anyway, let's have a look at Postman Pat then. So Postman Pat was aimed at preschool children, follows the adventures of Pat Clifton. He's a postman who worked for the Royal Mail Postal Service in the fictional village of Greendale. It was inspired by the real valley of Longesdale, which is in the South Lakeland district of England in Cumbria, near Kendal. So, you know, there's a place, this is a fictional place, but it's based on a real place in England. It was developed by a man called Ivor Wood and written by John Cunliffe. And the studio responsible for making it was called, let's have a look, what was it called? Woodland Animations. And Woodland Animations, under Ivor Wood, made quite a number of these stop motion animations. So, in addition to Postman Pat, which was a huge hit in 1981, continued to be a huge. I mean, I think Postman Pat is still made today in some ghastly form, probably. I mean, I haven't looked, but I can only imagine it's some CG monstrosity, which is you know, I dread to think what Postman Pat looks like today. But, you know, for most of my childhood and for most of my life, Postman Pat was a stop motion animation affair. Anyway, so there was Postman Pat, which ran from 1981 to 1996. Then there was Gran, which started in 1983. Now, I never saw Gran when I was a kid. I don't remember it. If there's time, I've only lined up four shows for today, but if there's time at the end, it really depends on when AAA and Mrs. AA get back from wherever they are. But if there's time, I might actually have a look at Gran, because I'm vaguely interested. Then in 1985, there's Bertha, which we'll look at in a little bit. And then in 1988, there was Charlie Chalk. I never really got into Charlie Chalk when I was a kid. I thought it was a bit, kind of weird and scary, to be honest. But I did enjoy Bertha and Postman Pat. Never saw Gran. So, well, without further ado, let us line up episode one of Postman Pat. Just going to share my screen. Here we go. Share screen. And we're looking at Postman Pat. Now, I have tried to take everybody's advice and, turn the adverts off. But let's see if that actually works, because, I'm a bit, as everybody knows, I'm a bit of a boomer. So let's turn this up and we'll take it away with Postman Pat.
Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his black and white cat. Early in the morning, just as day is dawning, he picks up all the post bags in his van. Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his black and white cat. All the birds are singing, and the day is just beginning. Pat feels he's a really happy man. Everybody knows his bright red van. All his friends will smile as he waves to greet them. Maybe you can never be sure, there'll be knock, ring, letters through your door. Postman Pat, Postman Pat, Postman Pat, and his black and white cat. All the birds are singing, and the day is just beginning. Pat feels he's a really happy man. Pat feels he's a really happy man. Pat feels he's a really happy man.
I just wanted to play the whole theme tune. I think everybody would agree it's an absolute classic in the genre of kids TV themes. And I just want to remark on how peaceful and cozy it looks in the world of this little village the Postman Pat lives in. Let's continue.
Boom, 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 boom. What a lovely day, said Pat to Jess as they drove along the valley on a fine sunny morning. They came into the village and stopped at the post office as they did every day to collect the letters. Good morning, Pat called. Morning, Pat, said Mrs. Goggins. Looks like a busy day for you, lots of letters and parcels. Well, at least it's a nice day for it.
Now, who wouldn't want to live in a place like that? Look how lovely that little rural sorting office is. Look at those parcels with the brown paper and the string. Little basket weaving activity has gone on in the background.
That's odd, said Mrs. Goggins. Most of the post seems to be for Katie and Tom Pottage. Ah, but of course it's their birthday. Oh, so it is, said Pat. Won't they be excited when they see all these parcels? They are lucky. I remember when I was their age, waiting for the post. Hey, I'd better be on my way. They'll be looking out for me. Well, I'll be off. Goodbye. Boom, 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 boom.
I mean, I wonder what the crime rate is there. It's got to be close to zero. It's got to be close to like Calvin's Geneva in this little town. Can't imagine anybody doing crime.
Pat was on his way. Before going to the Pottages, he had to call at the village school. Some of the children had arrived early and were playing in the schoolyard. Bill Thompson came running up to take care of the letters till the headmaster came. He always did that because he was the oldest. Oh dear! Right in a puddle. Sarah and Lucy Selby asked Pat if he was good at hopscotch because they'd just had new lines painted in the yard.
Now, I just want to comment. This is such a wholesome atmosphere that nobody would ever think, oh, well, isn't it weird that Pat's in this school? It's wholesome. It's just nice. So if anybody has any thoughts like that, you should wash out your mind from modern taint.
Well, it's a long time since I played, said Pat, but I'll have a go. Let's see now. He was quite good at it.
I didn't know that's how you play hopscotch. I thought you just hop in the squares, didn't you? You have to throw a rock and skip that one. Well, you learn something every day, eh, folks?
Whoops! Pat was enjoying the hopscotch so much he almost forgot the time. Hey, I'll have to be going. We can't have the post being late, can we? Especially today. Bye-bye, Pat. Goodbye.
See, I maintain it's my dream to be a kind of lonely, kind of a loner in a village like this. That's where I want to be. You know, I love the idea of living in a place where there's this sort of community, like genuine community life. But also, I don't really want to be a part of it. I just want to stay in my room. But anyway, let's carry on.
Pat turned in at Greendale Farm. Katie and Tom saw him coming and ran to meet him.
Charlemagne, he's not driving on the wrong side. That's the side of the road we drive on in this country.
They were so excited they couldn't wait to see what Pat had brought them. They're twins, you see, so it was a double birthday. Pat wished them a happy birthday, then took a letter to their mother.
Just realise it's a pretty good advert for the Royal Mail, isn't it? A show. Pretty good advert for the Royal Mail. So, anyway.
Tom's present was just what he wanted. But Katie didn't seem very pleased with hers.
What's up with Katie? Asked Pat.
She's wrong side out today, said Mrs. Pottage. She's lost Sarah Ann.
Sarah Ann? Is that the little doll she takes to school?
Not heard that expression before. She's the wrong side out today. She's the wrong side. I have to remember that. All right, I'm back again, everyone. Clearly, Postman Pat is far too wholesome for YouTube to allow to stream. I got a notice just saying, listen, you know, you can't watch this. So there we go. They muted the stream right in the middle of it. It just says, your stream was interrupted. Streams are interrupted when copyrighted content is detected. After copyrighted material is no longer being streamed, streams are automatically re-enabled. So I could have kept that going, but I thought it would probably be easier to just redo it. So I'm gonna have to be pretty careful with you know, how long, probably I was leaving it too long before speaking or something, but, you know, how are you meant to do this cutting edge cultural analysis without being able to, actually watch the damn stuff, you know, because they already, you know, that stream is still there. I can see that they've claimed copyright on the content and they've monetized it. I was like, okay, fine, but at least let me finish the damn stream. So this is an example of where the technology is a little bit too rabid, a little bit too keen, isn't it? But anyway, let's carry on. I can't remember what I was saying now. I got to talk more apparently. The music started the investigation. Oh dear. So I'm just going to let people come back in before we carry on. We better carry on with Thomas the Tank. Probably the same thing's going to happen, but let me just see what I was saying at the end there. I thought I was. It took a little moment for me to realize what was going on. So, hold on. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So let's carry on. I mean, imagine this is what did it for my channel. You know, watch your Postman Pat. No, I mean, you know, it's all right. Fair enough. I mean, probably I could appeal. I could appeal that, and they'll say, yeah, it's transformative content or whatever. But not going to bother. Can't be bothered with all of that. So let's carry on with Thomas the Tank. Probably the same thing's going to happen now. If they're that hot on Postman Pat, I reckon Thomas the Tank is. You know, even better well known. The thing about the Thomas the Tank theme tune is that if you're a hip hop fan, you'll know that there's something about this theme tune that is you know, magic, because it goes with every single hip hop beat. So let's play a bit of it, and then we'll see if we can demonstrate the magic of the Thomas the Tank theme in action. Hold on. Hopefully you guys can hear this. People are saying you're apt to get railroaded. Still, this is a great theme tune. Come on. Now, before I carry on, I do seem to have memories of this theme tune being applicable to all sorts of rap songs. If you're not familiar with this, it does bear kind of listening to. Just have a look at this. I keep on checking to see if this bloody stream's still there. The famous one was, of course, the Notorious B.I.G. version. Let's just have a listen to that.
Release the brainstorm to make the motherfucking brain warm. A strange form, something kind of lyrical. Biggie the bastard, so that's kind of spiritual. Well, in God we trust.
How does that work? Oh, you can go to any hip hop song you want. And it works. And we ain't got a follow, then we take another route. No, we ain't blowing trees, bro. Open up my window. I see you popping tags, but you know that's why your ends low. First, so far, your bitch, and then click your claim. West side, when we buy, then we quit the game. You claim to be a player, but I fucked your wife. We brought some bad boys, niggas fuck for life. So anyway, there we go. I just thought I'd share that. So let's get into Thomas the Tank there. Now, I seem to read something the other day that suggested that people of a left-wing persuasion hate Thomas the Tank. In fact, there was a whole article about it. I was just having a look. I was just having a look, and they were talking about how lots of people don't like Thomas the Tank Engine. Parents are trying to like stop their kids watching Thomas the Tank, and there were all sorts of why do so many liberal parents hate Thomas the Tank Engine in the Telegraph? This was an article. And this has like been an ongoing saga about this was from back in 2016, about people, liberal parents despising Thomas the Tank Engine. So that's maybe something to think about as we walk through. What would a left winger dislike about Thomas the Tank? So keep bear that in mind as we watch through some of this episode.
Thomas is a tank engine who lives at a big station on the island of Sodor. He's a cheeky little engine with six small wheels, a short stumpy funnel, a short stumpy boiler, and a short stumpy dome.
Probably should have told you a little bit about the show, shouldn't I? So Thomas the Tank is actually based on a group of books called the Railway Series, written by Reverend W. Awdry. It was first broadcast in 1984, as we talked about in the rudely interrupted previous version of this stream. Of course, it was narrated by one of the Beatles, Ringo Starr. And this was produced by Clearwater Features for Bill Allcroft. So a slightly different vintage from Thomas the Tank. From Postman Pat. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to finish the episode of Postman Pat due to overzealous copyright robots. Anyway, let's carry on.
Fussy little engine too, always pulling coaches about ready for the big engines to take on long journeys.
So, I mean, it strikes me that one of the things that liberals may dislike about Thomas the Tank is the very obvious hierarchy between the various engines. So, I mean, Gordon, as we're about to meet, Henry and James, the big engines, are very clearly the aristocrats of the engines, aren't they? So it could be some kind of strange class element to it. The fact that Thomas is just a kind of loyal worker, completely obeys the fat controller, who's a kind of capitalist fat cat. I mean, I'm just trying to think of angles where how could you possibly dislike a wholesome show like this? And I'm possibly thinking it could just be that old school kind of socialist analysis where they're thinking, well, why doesn't Thomas ever question, like, he's basically a slave to the fat controller, something like this. I don't know, I'm just spitballing.
And when trains come in, he pulls the empty coaches away so that the big engines can go and rest. Thomas thinks no engine works as hard as he does. He loves playing tricks on them.
I mean, you see, Thomas is aware that he's pretty hardworking, but he's proud of that fact. Maybe that's what the liberal parents don't like.
Including Gordon, the biggest and proudest engine of all.
Absolute Chad. Look at Gordon.
Thomas likes whistling rudely at him. Wake up, lazy bones. Why don't you work hard like me? One day after pulling the big express, Gordon had arrived back at the sidings very tired. He was just going to sleep when Thomas came up in his cheeky way. Wake up, lazy bones. Do some hard work for a change. You can't catch me. And off he ran laughing.
See, there's an impishness to Thomas in the way he treats the bigger engines. I mean, that's fair enough, isn't it?
Instead of going to sleep again, Gordon thought how he could get back at Thomas. One morning, Thomas wouldn't wake up. His driver and fireman couldn't make him start. His fire went out and there was not enough steam. It was nearly time for the express. People were waiting, but the coaches were...
Maybe the Liberals don't like it because, again, this is a town, this is a kind of place where you think, well, I wouldn't mind living there. It looks quite nice, you know. Everybody seems pretty happy. They've got good jobs, etc. Maybe.
Weren't ready. At last, Thomas started. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. He yawned. He fussed into the station where Gordon was waiting. Hurry up, you.
Someone's saying, do you remember Gordon is a moron? Yeah, I've got that whole album. It's called Jilted John by Jilted John. And in fact, that album in itself, not everybody remembers the single. That whole album, Jilted John by Jilted John, is possibly worth a whole Deepest Lore stream of analysis because there's all sorts of things going on that. It was like a kind of novelty comedy concept album. By in fact, the chap, I think, went on to do like various other different parody acts later on. You may have remembered him. He did something where he was on top of a bus. Forget his name now. But anyway, there's something really interesting about Jilted John because he's like a real loser. And, you know, he gets cuckolded by his by the girl he's after, and he gets beaten up by various people. He's this kind of pathetic worm of a character struggling his way through like school life. And there's something about that is of interest. And I think that it's probably worth at least one Deepest Lore stream. But anyway, let's get back to Gordon from Thomas the Tank.
Said Gordon. Hurry yourself, replied Thomas. Gordon began making his plan. Yes, said Gordon, I will. And almost before the coaches had stopped moving, Gordon reversed quickly and was coupled to the train. Get in quickly, please.
Now, just to compare, Postman Pat village is clearly a lot more rural than the Thomas the Tank lives in a slightly more urban area than Postman Pat. Would everybody agree with that? This is, you know, it's obvious it's big enough, one, to have a train station. I don't think the Postman Pat village has got a train station. So, you know, we're a little bit less in the sticks in the world of Thomas the Tank.
Whistled. Thomas usually pushed behind the big trains to help them start, but he was always uncoupled first. This time, Gordon started so quickly they forgot to uncouple Thomas. Gordon's chance had come. Come on, puffed Gordon to the coaches. The train went faster and faster, too fast for Thomas. He wanted to stop, but he couldn't.
I mean, another angle that the Liberals might not like is that these are all clearly coal-powered, old-fashioned steam engines. And I think there's a great romanticism around the steam engine. Peter Hitchens has talked about the importance of the symbolism of the train, and you know, there's constantly old train documentaries on the TV. In fact, if you ever go onto that BBC archive section, there's a whole section dedicated to just shows about old trains. So there's definitely something in the kind of British nostalgia or British romantic mindset that loves the steam engine. And if you go back to the stream where I discuss conservative strains in rock lyrics, the Kinks have got a famous song called The Last of the Steam-Powered Trains. It evokes something in the mindset of British people. And I think it possibly harks back to the country when it was at or near its peak, because, of course, coal was the thing that powered the Industrial Revolution, powered the British Empire. It's a time where, you know, in Wales, people remember all of the jobs associated with the mines and so on and so forth. So I think there are lots of strange positive associations with the coal mines. But of course, now the only correct thing to think about coal is that it damages the environment and, you know, climate change, et cetera, et cetera. So maybe that's another angle. Just spitballing.
Peep, peep, stop.
Hurry, 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 laughed Gordon. You can't get away, you can't get away, laughed the coaches. Poor Thomas was going faster than he had ever gone before. He was out of breath and his wheels hurt him, but he had to go on. I shall never be the same again, he thought sadly. My wheels will be quite worn out.
I mean, a trainer would know, but could you actually damage it? You could probably damage a train by doing what Gordon's doing to Thomas here.
At last they stopped at a station. Thomas was uncoupled, and he felt very silly and exhausted. Next, he went on to a turntable, thinking of everyone laughing at him.
Oh dear, he's been humiliated by Gordon. It's a bit sly. I'm talking all the time because I'm worried about this stupid algorithm now, so I'd like to let it play a bit more.
And then he ran onto a siding out of the way. Well, little Thomas, chuckled Gordon, now you know what hard work means, don't you? Poor Thomas couldn't answer. He had no breath. He just puffed slowly away to rest.
I mean, in a strange way, this is possibly deserved. Thomas getting a little bit mischievous, getting a little bit cheeky, you know, deigns to go against the great chain of being, questions his superiors like Gordon, and, you know, he got what's coming to him, arguably.
And had a long, long drink. He went home very slowly and was careful afterwards never to be cheeky to Gordon again.
Don't be cheeky to Gordon. Fantastic moral. Yeah, you too should not be cheeky to Gordon. That's it. Gordon just bitched about Sir Thomas, and that's it, basically. I love that. That's amazing. Brilliant. Do not be cheeky to those who are above you in the hierarchy. Know your place. Yes, I can't believe people are saying that Ringo Starr sounds like PJW. I mean, do not be ridiculous. Ringo Starr does not sound like Paul Joseph Watson. I mean, it's a tune, isn't it? Be honest, folks, it is a tune. This is one of those ones that will be stuck in your head for days, and you'll be like, what's that? Oh, it's Thomas. I'm humming Thomas the Tank to myself again. Okay, let's see the final flourish. We made it through Thomas the Tank, ladies and gentlemen, without the overzealous robot overlords sniping the stream. If you missed the start of the stream, it is still there. It's up. You'll just probably get 1,000 adverts on it, courtesy of a company that no longer exists. I mean, I'm guessing Woodland Animation is no longer up and running, but whoever owns the copyright decided, you know, it's really important that people don't, you know, watch and comment on their stuff. Anyway, we're going to carry on now, because speaking of banging tunes, we're going to watch another one of Woodland Studios offerings. This is from the people who brought you Postman Pat. It's Bertha. So Postman Pat was very rural. It was based in a little village, and in the countryside, whereas Bertha is much more industrial, as you'll see, and it was intended as a replacement for Postman Pat. And so when they made this, they thought, oh, well, we need to maybe, I don't know, update it or have a more industrial setting, or they had some idea that they were going to do something more modern, I guess, than Postman Pat. But for whatever reason, Bertha didn't take off. Now, when I was looking around for this, I could see that younger kids had had actually written posts about how Bertha is scary and, you know, can't believe they used to show this to kids and stuff. I'm not sure that we'll see any of that, but I'll be interested to know what the uninitiated and what Americans make of Bertha. It was same producer, Ivor Wood. And here's a little thing that I didn't know about Bertha. It's narrated by Roy Kinnear, who's a great, really great British actor, kind of comedy actor. He crops up in all sorts of things. He's in some of the old Hammer horror movies. You will know Roy Kinnear, of course, as Mr. Salt from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. You know, Veruca, darling. Him, that is Roy Kinnear, and he is the voiceover. So, you know, pretty good vintage of narrator here. So let's get on with it. Somebody's in the chat saying Bertha is a fat girl's name. Well, Bertha is the name of the big kind of factory machine, as you'll see. So let's get on.
Bertha, lovely Bertha, you are a lovely machine, and anyone who works with you will know just what I mean. Oh, Bertha, lovely Bertha, sometimes I think you're a dream, but when we work out what you have to do, you can always turn the goods out, always turn the goods out, we can depend upon you.
So you can see that they've got a bit of a challenge, because inside a factory is, I suppose, a more difficult and less wholesome environment than a rural village like Postman Pat. So they're up against it here, especially for the target audience. But let's see how they do.
Hey, flashing in the night, your computer is shining brightly. Some people say you have a mind of your own, and I think that's very likely. Bertha, lovely Bertha.
People in the chat saying that even the theme tune's not as catchy. I mean, maybe this is this has all the hallmarks of the difficult second album, doesn't it?
Sometimes I think you're a dream. When we work out what you have to do, you can always turn the goods out, always turn the goods out. We can depend upon you.
This week at Spottiswood and Company, Bertha is making jigsaw puzzles. Ted.
I'd never drawn the connection that this was Roy Kinnear. Even though it says it in the credits, I mean, this is not the sort of thing you notice when you're 8 years old, or however old I was.
Puts a picture in one end.
It's a little kind of a mid-century German tash this guy's got. It's an interesting moustache, isn't it?
And Bertha cuts out the shapes. That's Roy checking the puzzles. Then Nell packs. And Flo stacks. It seems a shame to break up such a lovely picture.
But the fun of jigsaw puzzles is to put them back together again, isn't it?
What do you do with it when you've put it back together?
You break it up and begin all over again.
I mean, that's some very mundane factory talk there.
That seems daft to me. Hey, there's a hole in this one.
That means that there's a piece missing.
You're right.
Hey, Ted.
Stop, Bertha.
I mean, this is a thrilling plot, isn't it? You know, piece of jigsaw puzzle missing. Stop the factory, everyone.
See? There is a piece missing. Right in the middle there. Sorry.
Now we'll never find the missing piece. And why not? Because we don't know what it looks like.
It was a piece missing from the tree, I remember.
Ah, but what piece? It was a very large tree.
A piece with leaves and branches on it.
Look here, if there's a piece of the puzzle missing, it must still be in Bertha. Now, come on, Bertha, where's the missing piece of puzzle?
Ooh. People are saying, I can't believe this didn't catch on. Yeah, I know.
Can't see it. Ted, why don't you put another picture through? It might dislodge the missing piece and bring it out.
What a good idea, Roy. Now, the piece we're looking for comes from about there, so watch out for it. Now, come on, Bertha.
There's a piece missing from this one, too.
What?
A piece of the sky.
Where? Just there. Sorry.
First a piece of the tree is missing, and now a piece of the sky.
Yeah, I agree with Coney that there's something very static about this environment. You know, we're stuck indoors. There's not the beautiful countryside to have a look at, or the rolling hills. I mean, it's kind of a bit claustrophobic, isn't it? But also, there's nothing happening here. We're just looking for a piece of a puzzle. 4 minutes in already.
Oh, I wonder what Bertha's up to.
All right, I'm back for the third time, ladies and gentlemen. Just let people to find the stream yet again. Now, what I'm going to do, folks, is I'm going to, when this one is finished, I'm going to take them all down and I'm going to re-edit them, put them back up. I'm not worried about strikes. I do not get strikes for these. What happens is that the algorithm snipes the stream for whatever reason, because they think, they think you're some kind of Chinese bot farm or something, re-uploading copyrighted content or whatever. But what I'll do is I'll edit these three streams together, so that when we look back, it's all just one episode. It'll just have to have a few kind of interruptions and cuts in the middle of it. But what will happen is when I put that up, there'll be a bunch of copyright claims that come in, and they just I just leave them have the monetization. They don't. I don't get a strike for it. And, you know, I could appeal it, and usually you win those appeals. They just release it and say, yes, it's transformative. But, you know, often I can't be bothered to do that. I'm not worried about this sort of thing, because, we've been at this long enough now. All right. So shall we now move on to Fireman Sam? This is from 1987. Unfortunately, we'll never find out what happened to the puzzle piece on with Bertha. And Fireman Sam was created by... who was it created by? Let's have a look. The original series comprised 32 10-minute episodes and a 20-minute Christmas special. The original idea came about from two ex-firemen from London called Dave Gingle and David Jones. After purchasing the stop-motion animation drawn by artist Anthony Miller. They approached Mike Young, the creator of Super Ted in Barry, Wales, and asked them to further develop their concept. The idea was then brought to S4C's director of animation, Chris Grace, who had previously commissioned Super Ted. He saw potential in the idea, commissioned the series. The characters and the storylines were created by Rob Lee, an illustrator from Cardiff, and the program was made using stop motion. It could take up to 4 days to produce 1 minute of this form of puppet animation. Fireman Sam has, to this day, been translated into 25 different languages, including Mandarin. In the original series, all the character voices were performed by John Alderton. Later, they used several actors' voices. So, we're going to watch episode one from 1987. And, I mean, people are saying, oh, yeah, it's good that the Bertha one was interrupted because Bertha was trash. I mean, you know. So let's have a look. Let's have a look then at the first episode of Fireman Sam. Now I'm going to, unfortunately, due to the overzealousness of this algo, I'm going to have to keep on talking every few seconds. So there we go. All right. Let's have a look and. Let's carry on. All right. So hopefully you can see this. No? How about now? Surely you can see it now. Okay. So we're going to watch episode one of Fireman Sam, and then I will have a look at the couple of super chats. In fact, why don't I do the super chats now before I forget? Because I did see that some people sent them in for the first one, and then I'm going to have to have a go. At downloading and editing all these together. All right. So, just a few ones. Coney says Thomas the Tank Engine, Postman Pat, and Fireman Sam all got solar CGI treatment. Pale shadows of their stop motion forebears that I grew up with. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure that the modern ones are awful. Coney says Norman Price was probably the love child of Fireman Sam. Well, we'll see about that in a second when we watch this opening episode. Harrison Wade says, men complete foundations of writing before foundations of logic. This ensures your snide corrections of AA's alpha version are truly Ataria worthy. Yes, Harrison Wade, I think, is probably going to be the first person to complete foundations of logic, and he has just spotted a typo in one of my late slides I've seen, which I'm probably going to have to go and correct now. But thank you very much, Harrison Wade, for all of your work there. Usually for the first week or so, the first person who they'll find any tiny little corrections that need to be made like that. Now I've made them, so they won't be there anymore. Thank you, Harrison Wade. Yes, pick up Foundations of Writing and Foundations of Logic. Currently working on Foundations of Rhetoric to complete the Trivium. And once the Trivium is complete, I would say it's pretty much mandatory for everybody to do it at least once. Various people have been going through the writing and logic ones have been telling me that it's something that they wish they'd done a lot earlier. If you're homeschooling, I'd recommend them for those people as well. And of course, Foundations of Economics is still there. Foundations of Economics is a much longer course. Yes. You should level up your econ knowledge as well. Owen says, I had to watch Sam Tan, Fireman Sam in Welsh. Well, quite rightly so. And Narco Republican says, Bertha, there is a missing part of the stream here. Yes. Narco Republican, what keeps on happening is that there's this bot on YouTube that keeps on sniping sniping the streams because it recognizes some copyrighted content, and then it just yanks the stream down unceremoniously, which is pretty irritating, to be honest. But let's persevere, and we're going to watch Fireman Sam. Now, I think the Fireman Sam theme tune is an absolute banger. When I was doing some initial research for this stream, trying to find the episodes and so on, I happened to have a little listen to the Fireman Sam theme tune. This was about a week ago, and it's been stuck in my head basically every day since. So I really think this is a good theme tune. Let's take it away. I'm just pausing it in case we get sniped again. You cannot ignore Sam is the hero next door. That he meets. Someone could be in a jam. So hurry, hurry, Fireman Sam. He's always on the scene. Fireman Sam. His engine's bright and clean. Fireman Sam. Now here's a detail I don't quite understand. Trevor here, right? This is Trevor. He's in the opening credits, but, well, as we'll see, he doesn't seem to be a fireman in the actual series. Somebody will need to explain that to me. It's a bit of a Fireman Sam deepest lore. What's the deal with Trevor? I can see my brothers in the chat. Trevor looks a bit like Dad, doesn't he? It's literally...
It's blowing a gale today in Pontypandy, but a hurricane wouldn't lower the spirits of the ever-cheerful, debonair Trevor Evans the Bus.
Oh, there he is. Look, there's Trevor Evans. Trevor Evans the Bus. Now, I've got the questions must be asked about Trevor Evans because, I mean, he doesn't look like he'd be called Trevor Evans to me.
Fireman Sam is just finishing his breakfast.
High winds this morning in South Wales, but moderating later in the day.
Very wholesome. Look at that. That's what I call a Mr. Man breakfast. The boiled egg there. Bit of sugar, Welsh salted butter. Cup of tea.
Gale warnings in force.
I quite like windy days. Wind blows those cobwebs away. I know. I think I'll give Sarah and James a ring. Perhaps we could go to the park after I finish my shift. Odd. That's very odd. The phone's dead.
That's a Welsh accent, by the way. Whoever it was who thought that PJW sounds like Ringo Starr. Yeah, people have spotted the toast rack. Yeah. Look at that old Italian cafe there, Bella's Cafe. A lot of Italians in Wales. I think there was a couple of spells of Italian immigration to Wales. I think first in the 1910s or possibly even earlier than that. And then there was a pretty big wave in the 1930s, of course. And that Italian Welsh community is still pretty big. I mean, town where I grew up, how many Italian cafes and restaurants did we have? Like 1, 2, 3. I was going to, there's that little, I'm literally just talking to my brother now, but there's that little one by the subway. I was talking about going there and maybe like try and have a roast dinner there or something, but the idea was vetoed. I'm still interested to know what it's like. I remember going there like in the 80s and having scampi and a Knickerbocker Glory with my grandmother. It's like this little porter cabin, but it's been there for years. And this is an Italian, little Italian, I wouldn't call it a restaurant. It's like a cafe, an old fashioned cafe that does things like scampi and Knickerbocker Glory. And I have no idea what sort of state it's in today. In fact, probably the pandemic has wiped these places out, sadly. But they've been there for many, many, many years. And they've kept them going, these families, these Italian families. But it's not just where I grew up. All over South Wales, there are a lot of these kind of Italian cafes. So I would say Bella in Fireman Sam is pretty representative in a way.
Pronto, pronto. Hello, hello. Oh, il telefono. I non work. Hello there, Bella. I love my usual cheese and chutney sandwiches, please. Sandwiches. I'll make the sandwiches. But no bread. I phoned the baker, but the phone no work. Oh, mamma mia. Leave it to me, Bella. I'll see what I can do.
Bella's comedy Italian accent is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Do.
Sarah, James.
Oh, Mr. Evans, can you drop us off at the park, please?
Hop in, then.
What's the deal with Trevor Jones, then? I mean, is he actually, like, of a particular ethnicity? Or is he just one of these Welsh guys who's slightly dark, like kind of Tom Jones? I've always thought Tom Jones has got a shade of something else. Like, he seems like a darker fellow. Trevor Evans could just be like a kind of Tom Jones type character. I don't know.
Oh, that's a nice kite you got there. I'll show you how to fly it.
But we know, Mr. Evans.
Not as well as me.
Yeah, but that cafe by the subway, is it still there? Or is it gone? Somebody said it's Shinobi Yaka voicing Trevor Evans.
By sugar lumps.
Make me some tea, make me some tea, make me that lovely cup of tea. You got any plans today, Sam?
Not very easy to make plans, Elvis.
Now, Elvis is, there's something extremely interesting about the Elvis-Sam relationship, because Sam is very much the alpha and Elvis is very much the beta in this relationship. Keep that in mind as you watch their interactions.
Phones are dead.
Dead? Oh, that's sad, man.
Oh, Darryl.
Somebody's saying Elvis is autistic. Is he? I don't know. He just kind of likes his 50s music, doesn't he?
Now who needs the fire service? Get to work, man. Telegraph fell down on the Newtown Road.
When I was watching a bit of this with Mrs. AA, she commented, she said, oh, I like how the chief is English, as it should be, she said.
All present and correct, sir. Right, let's go.
The chief in this looks a lot like Winsor Davis, doesn't he? Remember that actor? Really, like a spitting image of him.
Oh, steady on.
Uncle Sam's in a hurry today.
Now, again, this is a pretty rural village, but still not as rural as the one from Postman Pat, I would say. It's slightly more. I mean, has Postman Pat got something as kind of built up as that area where Bella's Cafe is? I feel like Postman Pat is even more rural than Fireman Sam.
here we are, sir. Here's the cause of the trouble.
Yes, yes, here is the cause of the trouble.
Trouble? It's not on fire.
Yes, we know. But it's a danger to traffic.
Oh. Oh, yes. Dilys Price wants to get Mummy's little Norman from under her feet.
Oh, I love this. Love this shop that Dilys Price has got. I love the idea of going there. But, you know, one of the sad things is that we all have this idea that we'd love to go there. But in reality, if that shop was down the road, you'd still end up going to Tesco's and Sainsbury's more. In your actual reveal preferences, you wouldn't go to this shop. And this is one of the tragedies of the world.
I want to watch the telly.
That's all you ever do. You'll have square eyes, my sweet.
Oh, Mum.
Now then, off you go to have a look.
Oh, Mum.
Lovely play in the park. Norman! Scram!
Norman is the embodiment of the ashes of Western civilization in one. Like, he is the emblem of the decline of the West. Look at him with his skateboard and his naughtiness.
Whee!
Now then, you hold the kite like so. Keep the string tight, arm's length. Oh, it snapped. Now don't worry, it'll be up in no time. Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, no, come back here.
So is anybody going to explain why Trevor Evans is a fireman in the opening credits where he doesn't appear to be in the actual show? I need to know this bit of Fireman Sam deepest lore. I've also got the idea that I want to get a framed picture of Trevor Evans and send it to my dad.
No, come to Trevor!
Oh, Mr. Evans, look out!
Norman, look at what you've done.
Sorry, Mr. Evans.
Absolute rapscallion.
It's quite all right, Norman. All systems go, Cridlington.
Yeah, go, man, go. I mean, all systems go, sir.
Good respect of Elvis to his superior there. I like to see that little bit of natural hierarchy involved, as it should be.
Right, Fireman Sam, reverse mode.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Jupiter. Back a bit. Back. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're right. Norman is lacking a father figure. What is the backstory